I want to talk about peace. About peace. Isn't that something that there is a universal longing for? An elusive condition that everybody wishes they had? You know, I do realize somebody could argue at this point and say, no, there are some people who do relish constant turmoil, but I do think and definitely hope that they are the minority. Because as a whole, don't we all really want peace, whether it's between nations, between individuals, or in our own hearts? Now, this talk is going to focus on the last one, although I do believe that all three are intertwined. We'll focus on peace in our hearts, but when it comes to peace between nations and peace between individuals, it seems to me that with 7 billion of us humans, if we all had inner peace, we wouldn't have university students rioting when their football coach is fired because he didn't do enough when informed of child rape. We wouldn't have a nation that's rushing, as we learned, well, I think most intelligent people knew, but it was finally reported either this week or last, that this nation is rushing to develop nuclear weapons while at the same time hoping to wipe the only Jewish nation off the map. And perhaps it's stories like that that are the best indicators of just how tumultuous the seas of our hearts, when I say hearts, the hearts of humankind are, and how unpeaceful our souls are. I was typing this yesterday, and I just took a quick look at the Drudge Report. And for a selection of some of the links I found there, we have MF Global Fires 1,000 Workers. Millions, it's a separate story, millions lose health insurance. Update, Pentagon warned troop remains being dumped in landfill. War drums, Google releases satellite images of Iranian nuke facilities. 10-year-old girl gives birth. Kidnapped baseball player found safe. Explosion in Iran rocks Revolutionary Guard military base. Arab League votes to suspend Syria over crackdown. Chicagoland. Thug punches out older man on train platform. And in a related but separate story, crowd laughs, taunts. He knocked his, I can't say it out. Next story, Abramoff. Congress members took part in insider training. And then the final one I selected from it, death, disease, plague, occupy, protests. Now, obviously Drudge doesn't make his living and didn't become successful by focusing his headlines on stories about cute kittens, rainbows, and unicorns. But he's not making the stories up. And perhaps it's a somewhat skewed one, but the Drudge Report is a reflection of modern existence. MF Global did fire 1,000 workers after committing massive fraud. They may not have 100% confirmed that the 10-year-old girl had a child in Mexico, but it isn't hard to believe given, quote, in August last year, an 11-year-old known as Amelia had a child 2 weeks prematurely after being raped repeatedly by her stepfather when she was 10 years old. I guess the age of consent at 12 didn't help both those girls out too much. And a Washington Nationals baseball player, I guess a catcher, was kidnapped in Venezuela. Syria is killing peaceful demonstrators. The elderly are being attacked while heartless people look on and sometimes cheer. And our politicians use their influence to line their pockets while they ransom our children's future. This unpeaceful list could go on ad infinitum. And not only are those stories indicative of a lack of inner peace among the inhabitants of this blue world, but just hearing about them can complicate our own inner peace, can it? How many people here sometimes just finally have to turn the news off? Might not look at a TV or listen to a radio for a week because you just can't take it anymore. My poor wife sometimes requests certain things at night because I leave the radio on. She's like, could we not put the political stuff on this night? Because at some point, starts messing with your whole sense of well-being, your whole inner peace. And you may remember, I mentioned in a recent sermon, a line from Poison's Something to Believe In, where Bret Michaels sings, "What I occasionally feel, perhaps less occasionally than I wish. Sometimes I wish to God I didn't know now what I didn't know then." I imagine many of you who hadn't heard about the 10-year-old girl or the 11-year-old one might wish I didn't even mention it today, right? I'd apologize, but I'm afraid that is the reality that we have to face. With knowledge, as is also true with sin, once Pandora's box is opened, there is no way to put back the awareness or the evil into the box. It is out. Having said that, are we doomed to perpetual inner toil? Can we have inner peace? The headlines and the realities behind them, because remember, we may cringe at the headlines, but somebody else experienced the actual story. They're not going to go away. Even worse, we, or the ones we love, can become the subject of them instead of being somebody, a country over the border. And I'm not talking about peace in heaven where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Obviously, I'm looking forward to that, but that's not the kind of inner peace that I'm talking about. I'm talking about here and now. Can we have peace? Before we see our Lord's answer in the Bible, let me explain quickly why I have peace on the brain. I've been enjoying a band called, they must have run out of it. It's just like guitar riffs. They've run out of guitar riffs, so now they're pretty strange guitar riffs that lead off some rock songs. I think they've run out of normal names. So this one's called, sounds like an ice cream to me, Blackstone Cherry. You'd expect that out of Ben and Jerry's, wouldn't you? But I've been enjoying this band called Blackstone Cherry, probably a little harder than most of you would like, but not harder than Michael's friend Chris likes. And they have in one of their songs the line that is the title of this sermon, "Don't bring your sadness down on me, peace is free. Don't bring your sadness down on me, peace is free." And I can't say that I entirely understand every part of the tune, and I can't say that I entirely agree with every part that I do understand. For instance, it says, "Raise up your glasses and forget about our hate." I'll go with the forget about our hate, but as for raising up your glasses, depends on what's in it, or I should say, probably depends on how many glasses you've had, depending on what's in it. But three words from that song stuck out at me. I could have just left them for the title, but I did like the "Don't bring your sadness down on me," because there are people like that, aren't there? But the three words that stood out at me were, "Peace is free." Peace is free. So in addition to my question about whether or not we can have peace right here, right now, the question is it free? Is it free? Because the songwriter's point is, from what I can take, again, I'm not saying I totally understand it, is, look, you can have peace. It's not like it costs you something, so why bring your sadness on me? Get your own peace. Peace is free, right? Or, before singing those words, did Black Cherry raise their glass one too many times and peace is not free? They're just full of it. So we're going to look at that. Now, the Bible makes it pretty clear that peace is important, because I guess you could ask that. Is it important to have peace? Because before you care about whether it's free or whether you can have it, is it important to have it? And instead of trying to prove that in this sermon, because again, as I started studying peace, it's just, I probably could do a whole series, and maybe I should. What I'd recommend is when you get home, whether you have a concordance or Bible software, just go ahead and, for instance, search for grace and peace together in your Bible, and you'll find that Paul, along with that, wishes people grace and peace over a dozen times. Over a dozen times. And if you search just for peace, you'll see John quoting Jesus three times after he was resurrected saying, "Peace be with you." Peter four times in his letters, twice in each, wishing people peace. And then even Jude, who I don't think of as a very peaceful person, he's kind of a need to let you guys know about the trouble that's going on in the church kind of person. But even Jude got in the mix and said, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. That's Jude 2. And obviously, it's not limited to just that in Scripture. That's just a selection. So something the Holy Spirit inspired so many writers to wish for us must be important. So I would suggest that wanting inner peace is not a selfish pursuit. It's what God desires for us too. And I think that's important, because sometimes we can think we're being selfish by trying not to always feel on edge, right? It's not a selfish pursuit. God wants everybody here. You say, I'm not a health and wealth. God wants you to be rich. No. But God does want you to have peace. And you should not apologize for trying to find it. So first, I think the easy question to answer. Can you have peace here and now? So let's look at John 14:27. And this was, even when I was thinking of peace is free, this is the verse that first came to mind. I'm sure we all have those things. When a subject comes up, there's one verse, whether or not we can actually give the quote, I'll admit I had to look it up, whether or not we can give the quote offhand, the reality is, man, there's that quote that this brings to me. Now, you may think this is a crazy one. There's probably other better ones in your opinion, but 14:27. Are we there? So remember, what do we have on our sign? What does it say? I am the way and the truth and the life, right? That's 14:6. So we're in the same place, right? So 14:27, he continues, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Now, before we discuss those, let's look at the second verse. Philippians 4. We've been spending a lot of time in Philippians. In Bible study, we haven't gotten here, but Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. There? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So let's think about it. First we have Paul, Peter, and Jude wishing us peace. We have Jesus promising to give us peace that is better. It's not the same. That is better than what the world can provide. And we have Paul saying that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds. You don't have to be an accomplished logician. What's a logician, Mike? You know, well, part of the word is logic. So what's a logician use? Very good. Very good. So, Mom and Dad, he's still awake.
Amen.
Not totally. You don't have to be an accomplished logician based on that evidence to answer the first question. Of course, you can have peace here and now. God would not wish it through Peter on you. Jesus would not promise it to you. And what good is the peace that surpasses all understanding if you can't have it? We're told we can have it. But how do we get peace? I'm sneaking in another question before we get to peace is free. How do we get peace? Those two references actually answer that question too. First, you have to seek peace from the right place. Or rather, I should say, the right person. Now think of Jesus. He's talking to his disciples, and he had a reason to phrase things the way he did. The disciples had been in the world up to that point, and they knew the peace that the world gives. They knew what it was like. So Jesus, also knowing how fickle and transient it is, made a point of pointing out how his peace is dissimilar from the world's. So you have to choose the right place. And if you think about it, considering that Jesus is the Prince of Peace from Isaiah 9:6, it shouldn't surprise us that Jesus' peace is different. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, you don't have to turn there, but if you're fast, you can. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And Romans 16:20, in a rather ironic set of words, says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The God of what? I know it sounds ironic, but to be honest, until it's just a metaphor, until Satan is out of the picture, there will not be peace in the universe. There can be peace in our hearts. But it's the God of peace. Now, going back into my broken record mode, do you know why I say broken record? Yeah, very good. Do you know why? I expected more kids here, and I had in my notes that I was going to use the phrase, and I realized there are kids here. Like, you've probably, maybe some of you have seen on Facebook the picture which shows a cassette deck and a pencil and said, our kids will never understand the connection between the two. So I worry, like, with broken record, why does broken record mean repeating? Do you know?
Because people have to repeat themselves over and over again just to get you to understand.
But why does broken record mean that? Because when you get a scratch on the record, on a vinyl record, and I thought of bringing it in, often it would cause it to keep going back over the same thing over and over again, right? So being a broken record, going back to the question of where you get peace, I've said this about a lot of other things, you only have two places that you can get peace. Only two places. You will either go to the Prince of Peace or to the Prince of the Power of the Air. You'll either go to the Prince of Peace or to the Prince of the Power of the Air. It's Ephesians 2:2, in case you're interested. And considering that the Prince of the Power of the Air is also known as the Father of Lies, from John 8:44, I hope it won't be too hard to figure out which one you should be looking for peace from. So yes, you can have peace here and now, but you must first make sure that you're getting it from the right source. And I would argue, even as Christians, we often aren't. Instead of going and asking God, it is in buying that new thing or hoping for that new job or getting that new degree. That somehow if we just do that, finally things will be peaceful. Now, what about Paul's words? Let's go ahead and reread them. It's Philippians 4:4 through 7. What about Paul's word? What do they tell us about where to get peace? Yeah, hopefully you're getting there faster. My fingers are uncalibrated again. There we go. 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul's answers to how you can have peace here and now are summed up in two words. Do you know what those two words are? Well, you could say it that way. I was going to use a different two words, but yes. How about ask God? Think about it. No magic words, no special actions, no long process. If you do this, and then you do that, and then you do that. Just two words, ask God. Now, I know that there are some here, perhaps everybody here, can say, I've done that, and I've still been left with restless nights, tortured thoughts, and sometimes overwhelming anxieties. Now, unlike the father of lies, we know, and it is reiterated in Titus 1:2, that God never lies. So if he promises a peace that will surpass all understanding, he will provide it. And it is impossible, given the constraints of time, to go ahead and explain why we Christians are so often without peace, what the causes are. But can we all agree that the problem isn't with God? That it's not with God? For now, all I can say is, don't give up. If you don't have peace now, don't give up. And try to have the confidence that David did when he said to our Lord, "And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant." That's 2 Samuel 7:28. God has promised this good thing, this inner peace, to us servants. So we should trust like David, be like Abraham, who was, per Romans 4:21, fully convinced that God was able to do what he has promised. Fully convinced. I can tell you right now, if you don't think God can give you peace, you're not going to get peace. We can go to James about not being like a ship tossed to and fro, right? When you pray, trust God. God can and God will give you peace. God can give peace. God promised to give you peace, and God will give you peace. Which leads us to the final question. I snuck a middle one in, right? But it leads us to the final question, which was, is peace free? Is peace free? Are the band Coldstone Cherry accurate when they say that? Well, I'd say that it is true, and they are 100% right in saying that you cannot buy peace. There is nothing you can pay, nothing you can hand over to somebody else that will actually buy peace. Otherwise, rich people wouldn't be spending so much money trying to find happiness and so much money on psychiatrists and lawyers. I'd say the fact that there's so many psychiatrists and lawyers actively working is proof that rich people, not just rich people, but don't have a lot of peace. And Jesus and Paul both, if you look at their words, both make it clear peace is a gift, right? Because Jesus said, "My peace I give." I give. That's not I sell, right? It's I give to you. And Paul wrote that all we have to do is what? Pray. Ask God. Pray. Now, since our government hasn't yet, I'm not saying that they won't figure out a way, but since our government has not yet figured out a way to tax prayers, prayers cost what? Zero. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. For us, peace is free. But as my dear wife Michelle reminded me when we were talking about a different kind of peace between nations and the world, peace is never free. For us in this country, peace was paid for by the blood of our heroes ever since we were founded. And the peace that we have here on this continent, as imperfect as it is, has been very, very costly, as we talk about the millions of people who have died for it. Somebody always pays for peace. Somebody always pays for peace. And of course, it didn't have to be that way. If Satan had recognized just how blessed he was and remained a loyal angel, or if our parents had trusted their creator more than they trusted a snake, peace wouldn't cost anything. It would just be, right? If sin hadn't entered this universe and then this world, peace wouldn't cost anything. It would just be. And just like peace between nations has cost rivers of blood, the peace that Jesus offers has cost blood more valuable than every drop that has been spilt on every battlefield through all history. And to think about that a little bit, let's wrap up by looking at Colossians 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 22. Colossians 1, verses 19 through 22. And as you can see, when you start talk about something that extend a sermon, if you start talking about the blood of Christ, we could spend many, many, many sermons talking about it. But 1, 19 through 23. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." By the way, we get very human, earthly centric. Does that say just on earth? No, whether on earth or in heaven. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And notice there again, it talks about has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Not very limiting. Now, the peace that Paul is talking about here isn't the inner peace that we have been talking about. But if we were not reconciled by the blood of Christ, I can assure you that we would have absolutely zero chance at inner peace. Just say that again. If Christ's blood hadn't paid for our peace, there is no way that we could have the inner peace that we're chatting about today. We need the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ that Romans 5:1 speaks of if we want peace within. Peace with God is required for peace within. That's because Jesus' promises, God's promises of peace, are only for the saved. When we read those words, Jesus wasn't just talking to everybody. They are only for the saved. And because nobody in their right mind can have peace if they know their eternity is going to be with the prince of the power of the air. I don't know about you. It'd take a lot of ice cream and probably some heavy drugs for me to think I was going to spend my eternity with Satan and somehow come here and say, yeah, I feel good. Yes, we can have peace right here, right now. And all we have to do is ask God. And yes, peace is free for you and for me, but it was very, very costly to the God.